Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and my good friend Stephen Garchar will be joining us in the studio in a few minutes. And we might have him on the phone a little bit sooner than that, but he will be coming in very shortly. Anyway, here we are. This is the second Sunday of the Advent season, and if you were with us last week when I did a show with Julie Massey and Stephen, we kind of gave an introduction to Advent based on the fact that sin came into the world, and that because of what Adam and Eve did, the world, or I should say mankind, needed a redeemer, that they were now, or I should say we were now, not were then, because we still are in the predicament. The situation was that we could not rectify the situation ourselves. And you can go back to our website and listen to the show, which I think you can do for your homework, but at giftofgraceministries.org, you can look at the show for last week, listen to the show for last week, and the stage was set, and we ended up the show with the passage from Jeremiah 31:31, which was about God telling the prophet Jeremiah that he was going to make a new covenant with Israel. And it wasn't going to be like the old covenant, which was the law. It was going to be a new covenant. And this was the setting for the season of Advent, waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the Redeemer that was actually promised way back in Genesis 3:15. And interestingly, in the passage from Jeremiah, God says that he's going to write his law on our hearts, and he's going to be our God, and we're going to be his people. And it says that he, meaning God, will forgive their sins and remember them no more. And we as Christians are kind of used to that, and we understand what that means. But if you were living in Jeremiah's time, which was just as the Babylonian exile was about to start, and the land was about to be punished for its sin, when you heard a prophet say that in the future, God is going to forgive your sin and not remember them, this was radical, very revolutionary, because their righteousness was based on the law. And there wasn't anything in the law about God forgiving your sin and not remembering your sin. So we know what that means. They didn't know what that meant, but this sets the stage for the Redeemer coming. And the whole point of the Advent season is to prepare the way for the Redeemer and to prepare our hearts to receive him and to prepare our minds to understand that of all the things we do in our lives and experience in our lives, the most important thing is understanding how Jesus was Redeemer, why he was the Redeemer, and how that central fact has to be completely central in our spiritual life, or else our spiritual life goes awry. And so this is what Advent is all about. It's pointing to what happens in Bethlehem in a couple of weeks, but of course it wasn't really December 24th or 25th, but we're not going to get into that. This is when we celebrate it. And so while we're waiting for Stephen to come in, or are you on the phone, Steve?
I'm here.
Oh, yay, you're there.
I've been listening to you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're doing an excellent job without me right now.
Okay, you're fired. Anyway, I know you'll be here in a few minutes, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those connecting flight from Youngstown, they're not as timely as they used to be.
Oh, yeah. It's tough to get a flight from Youngstown to Cleveland.
It is.
It's a really short flight, though.
It is.
But But since Stephen can't read while he's driving,
no.
And we really recommend, Steve, that you don't read while you're driving.
I'm not going to do that.
And don't text either.
I won't do that either.
Important safety messages from Gift of Grace Ministries.
Exactly.
The public service announcement. But we're going to start. I wanted to start in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah actually has a lot of prophecies about Messiah. We're going to cover some of them today. We're going to cover some of them next week, I'm sure, and probably some the week after that, for sure, before we have some type of Christmas show. But anyway, we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 11. We'll give you a chance to double-click or flip pages or tap or whatever you do. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Now, this is God talking to Isaiah. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with a rod of iron, with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a child will lead them. Also, the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Then in that day the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for his people, and his resting place will be glorious. Woo!
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff there to unpack, and if we try to analyze that word by word, we'll be here well past Christmas. Is there anything you want to add, Steve, before we go on?
Well, just that, you know, the house of Judah was pretty much desolate. And that's that sprout that's going to stump from the root of Jesse is what that's really referring to, mm-hmm. is that, you know, Jerusalem was left almost in ruins because of their disobedience to the Lord. And it's God's action, God's intervention that continues his promise, continues his covenant that he made with his people, Israel, that he's going to provide a way. He's going to provide for them a savior, a redeemer.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
We covered that last week. And, you know, interestingly, a lot of times during this time of the season, during the Advent season, there are many churches have Advent calendars and they have Advent wreaths and they have these what are called Jesse calendars.
Mm-hmm.
And people may not even understand what that means because not a lot of people nowadays sit around thinking about Jesse.
Right.
But Jesse was David's father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're home going, I don't even know who David is, let alone care who his father was.
Who's Jesse and David?
Who's Jesse and David?
Yeah.
This is why, you know, it's really important to study the word because Jesse is David's father.
Right.
And David, of course, was the second king after Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from the tribe of Judah. And Judah was the tribe that was the government, the scepter, as the word calls what Judah will have. They'll have the scepter, which means they'll be ruling. And if you ask any Jewish person who is observant and is faithfully waiting for the Messiah to come, we know he's coming for the second time. They think he'll be coming for the first time. But
right.
If you ask a Jewish person like that, who is the Messiah? The first thing they'll say is he's the son of David, because this is a very important messianic title, which means he's the grandson of Jesse if he's the son of David. But back in the book of 2 Samuel, and in one of my groups, we are studying the book of 2 Samuel, High North Ridgeville group. We just studied last week the lesson on David saying that he's going to build the Lord a house because, and you can read, we don't have time to go over the whole thing, but David says, I'm dwelling in a palace of cedar and the ark of the Lord is dwelling in a tent. I'm going to build the Lord a house. And God tells David through the prophet Nathan that he's not going to build them a house. In fact, God says to David, you're not going to build me a house. I'm actually going to build you a house.
Right.
He says, I've been perfectly happy right. living in the tent all through the wilderness and here, but you're not building me a house. And later we find out it's because he had too much blood on his hands and he had done a lot of things that were not acceptable. But basically, the prophet Nathan tells David something even more interesting, that from David's loins, a shepherd for Israel is going to come. A ruler of Israel is going to come. And this is where we get the messianic title, Son of David. And Peter mentions this in his famous sermon on Pentecost morning, that, you know, he's the son of the Messiah. Jesus was the son of David. And you guys put to death the author of life. And whew. So
right.
this was a very important prophecy. And the root that comes from Jesse, you know, it's called a root or a branch. But the actual Hebrew word is it's a small shoot that comes out of Jesse. A small, weak branch. And it's weak in the sense that it's small, it's soft, it could easily be broken. It looks like it could easily be broken. And later on, Isaiah is going to say, you know, that there was nothing that would make you look at him. He didn't look powerful. There wasn't anything that looked strong about him.
Right.
You know, he was crushed for our infirmities and all those things in Isaiah 53.
Right.
Which kind of take off from this idea that Messiah was going to be a small shoot. Interestingly, the Hebrew word for that is the same root word that the word Nazareth comes from. And this is even a foreshadowing that Messiah was going to be associated with Nazareth, because Nazareth is named for a small branch, a small shoot. But this small, weak branch was going to overcome all the powers of evil, was going to bring salvation, was going to overcome all the evil in the world. And it's really pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it is. You know, even when John the Baptist, before he's born, when Zechariah is mute, you know, first time he's able to speak, what is he, you know, what he says is, you know, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Yes.
You know, that's the first thing that he utters when he's able to speak for the first time. Because he didn't believe that Elizabeth was going to have a son. And obviously we're speaking about John the Baptist, but he reflects upon what you're just talking about.
Yeah.
You know, those are the first things that he taught. That's the first thing that he speaks when he's able to speak again.
That's right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. So Zechariah was reading the scrolls.
Oh, yeah, he was all over that. And boy, he remembered just before Gabriel took his speech away. You know, he knew that this baby had to be named John, and those people were protesting. Well, wait a minute. Nobody in your family's named John. Maybe you'd like to name him Zachariah or something. And the first thing he says was, his name shall be John. He didn't want to get Gabriel mad one more time.
Yeah, they didn't understand why he was going to name him John, because nobody in his family was named John.
Yeah, exactly.
Could have said Phil or Steve, but well, that probably wasn't.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, they wouldn't come around till later. But
right.
Anyway, so son of David, and so we have this passage that this branch is going to come out of the root of Jesse. In other words, it's the royal family. And you know that you can go to the website and see some teachings I have there about Saul and David and so forth. But, you know, Saul, when they picked Saul as king, and I'm not talking about Saul who became St. Paul, but Saul the king, who was the first king, God let them have him as king, even though, first of all, he was from the wrong tribe. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. And secondly, God didn't want them to have a king. But we don't have time to do all that teaching now. But basically, right. Here, Jesse becomes the root of the royal family. And in that passage from 2 Samuel, which you're going to read for your homework, you know, God through Nathan says that this one who's going to be ruler in Israel, who's going to come from David's loins, in other words, it's going to come from David's body, is going to sit on the throne of David forever, and the kingdom's not going to end, and David's throne is not going to end. So if you were King David and you heard the prophet say that, you'd say, wow, it's pretty cool. My throne's never going to end. But of course, he was talking about David's most important and most famous descendant. And we still can say to this day that Jesus sits on the throne of David, and we'd be telling the truth. Because that's what was prophesied in 2 Samuel. And wow, Steve is coming into the studio. I'm so excited. Now we won't sound as weird. But anyway, so David's royal family, as you know, those of you that know the Old Testament, and you all should know the Old Testament, through descendants went all the way up to the Babylonian exile in 586 B.C. King David was right around 1000 B.C. And then after the Babylonian exile, there were no more kings. And there was also no more idolatry, because they learned that lesson. And we're going to talk, I hear music, after the break, we're going to talk about why there were no more kings and what this meant. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
To bring light into the darkness, he has come. To bring freedom to the captives, he has come. Restore the broken hearted. It's time to proclaim the year of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for our Redeemer. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for our Restorer.
your heart and ready your home and ready the people of God.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Stephen is back in the studio.
Howdy there, Uncle Phil.
Hi. Wait a minute. I'm not your uncle.
Check one, two.
Oh, boy. Well, this Uncle Phil thing is kind of an inside joke. Yeah. But Stephen is not my nephew, I can assure you.
You're not my uncle.
No. So anyway, this royal family. Now, when the Babylonian exile was over, there were no more kings. And interestingly, David's family kind of, they didn't disappear clearly, but they became sort of more lowly. They lost their importance. And you see in the genealogies that are in Matthew and in Luke that Joseph and Mary were both from the line of David. They were both from the family of David.
Right.
And look how they were living. I mean, Joseph wasn't exactly living like some royal guy.
he was a carpenter.
Yeah, he was a carpenter. Yeah. He was working hard and he was, probably just making a living. And he was married and then baby Jesus came and he was, you know, making a living and trying to take care of things.
Yeah.
But it's a long, big difference between living like that and living like David's son Solomon lived, mm-hmm. for example,
yeah.
with his palace and his 1,000 women that he had and all these things that he had and all these armies that he had. So here the family of David has gone into sort of an obscurity, and this is where Messiah is born.
Yeah.
This is the situation that Messiah is born into. So it's a humble situation. It's kind of a submissive situation. You know, he comes to be a servant, and he's born into a pretty servant-like kind of a place.
Yeah, a pretty poor place. I mean,
yeah.
It's a manger.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about the surroundings or the environment that he's born into. Mary and Joseph don't have any money for a room at the inn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to stay in a stable, and that's where Messiah is born at. It's a far place from where Solomon and David were.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, how Jerusalem was in Solomon and David's day,
mm-hmm.
how the temple was there, and you know, those things. And now the land is desolate.
Yeah. No palace.
No palace.
Occupied by the Romans at this time.
Right.
A far cry. The height of the kingdom of Israel was under Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
It was the golden age.
Yeah.
And this was nothing like that.
Right.
But now here's where the son of David is born. And as we've said many times, you know, this title becomes important when, like, probably in every one of your churches, you read the account of Palm Sunday mm-hmm. and you see the accounts of these people waving palm branches and saying Hosanna to the son of David. And this is why they call him that.
Right.
Or when the blind guy says, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Right. Zacharias.
When you yell out, Son of David, that what you're saying is, Messiah, have mercy on me.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have called anybody Son of David unless they thought he was the Messiah.
Right. Right. Exactly. And so, you know, as we talked last week and we're talking this week, this time of preparation, this time of waiting for the Lord, in Mary's day, when Mary was, you know, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her she was going to bear a son,
mm-hmm.
That was after he silenced Zechariah.
Yeah.
Yeah. there was a great anticipation. They were seeking and waiting, listening for and observing signs of the coming of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Mary receives this message, I don't want to get too far off track of where you're going, but when Mary receives this message, she receives it with an open heart. She doesn't understand it, but she says, what she says is very important. She says, let it be done unto me according to your word.
Yes.
So she submits to God's will.
Yes.
Not fully understanding or knowing what that's going to encompass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the, you know, that's one of the central parts of Advent, is submitting to God's will and not knowing or understanding fully what's going to take place after you do that.
Yes.
But knowing that he is going to provide for you. Sometimes things may get difficult. You may not have enough money for the inn for your first child. But, and now, I mean, think of that. Mary and Joseph didn't have any money for an inn. They had to stay in a stable.
Yeah.
Yet she says, let it be done unto me according to your word.
Mm-hmm.
She could have stood there and said, you know, God, I said yes. Can't we at least have a nice, clean hospital?
Yeah.
There was none of
like
that.
A nice crib.
Yeah, a nice crib. You know, come on. You know, but, and sometimes we can get caught up into that stuff. So that's really, you know, as you're talking about, you know, we're preparing our hearts. We're preparing a place for Messiah to come and take up his place in us.
Mm.
That's part of the submission of, or the surrendering to.
That's an awesome way to put it.
Yeah. It's your surrendering to God and saying, okay, Lord, I know you're going to, I'm going to trust you for everything, for all my provisions, for everything that you have in store for me.
Mm.
Because I know that life with you is far better than life without you.
Wow. Yeah. You know? Well put. That's awesome. Yeah. Very interesting. You know, most young couples that are expecting a baby now, what do? They make a nursery, they buy a crib, they buy all the stuff, they paint the room, they put up the whatever it is, they get the thing. I mean, here you have the family of David, and they can't even get a place to stay for the night.
Right.
They're in a stable or cave or whatever it is, but one thing's for sure, there's a manger involved.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's for sure, which is a trough that the animals ate out of.
Right.
Which means there was straw in there. I mean, I hope the straw was clean.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I mean, imagine it would have been smelly. Yeah. It would have been dark.
Right. And
it
I mean, they're
dirty.
They were there because there was a census being taken. So they weren't in their native land. You know, they weren't in their home where they were. Well, they came back to where they're at. But, you know, so Joseph was a carpenter. He certainly could have built a crib or a little something.
Yeah.
You know, but
well,
they
probably built a crib when they got home.
When they got home. But then, so they're there because there's a census being taken, and that's the only place they can find.
Yeah. And it wasn't like, oh, there's a Holiday Inn Express over there. I'll just put the room on my American Express and we'll pay for it next month.
Yeah.
I mean, they were out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, in the middle of this dirty place.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the family of David. And this is the shoot that comes out of Jesse's root. This is the shoot that Isaiah talks about is going to rule the world and destroy evil.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem very likely at this point
that
this baby's going to amount to anything because look at the start he's getting.
Right.
I mean, and look at these two that are the parents. I mean, they don't look like much of anything either.
He's not in a palace.
No.
There's no, you know, kings or, you know, there's no royalty there, but he is royalty.
Yeah, exactly. In that place.
Right.
And I like this too, you know, in this passage, it talks about how the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest on him.
Yeah.
You know, and Isaiah repeats that in chapter 61:1. In fact, Jesus quotes this in Luke chapter 4 in his teaching at the synagogue, which was a very short, powerful teaching. And if you've ever been to a synagogue, whether a traditional or a messianic synagogue, there's a reading, there's a person chosen to do the reading, and when the reading is over, that person does a little short teaching called a drash before the real teacher does a sermon. So Jesus, Yeshua, was picked to do the reading, and the rabbi or the leader of the synagogue probably said to him, during the week, hey, would you like to read on Shabbat? And Jesus, of course, would have said, I'd love to.
yeah.
I'd love to. So he gets to read the second, this would be the second reading. This would be the Haftorah, as it's called, which is a reading from one of the prophets. Mm-hmm. So he reads this messianic prophecy from Isaiah 61, and he rolls up the scroll, and it says all eyes were on him because now he was going to do his little teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And his little teaching was very short and said, today in your hearing, the scripture is fulfilled. And then he said, didn't say anything more. And everybody went, what? What?
What kind of teaching is that?
So in 61, you know, the Spirit's going to rest on him. The Spirit's going to come on him. You know, it's the fullness of the Godhead. And, it's, you know, he's going to have all wisdom, all understanding, all knowledge, as it says there. You know, fear of the Lord. He's not going to be influenced by the opinions of men. You know, he knows what his mission is. He knows what his life is going to be. He knows why he's here. And everything he does is with righteousness. He's going to judge with righteousness. But then also, for people that like to say, you know, God loves everyone. He wouldn't do anything like that. And Jesus is just kind of, you know, nice and loving, and which he is. But then it says a rod's going to come from his mouth to judge the people that aren't doing. And, you know, Revelation 12:5, of course, it talks about it's an iron rod.
Right. Right. You know, as we prepare for the coming of Messiah, and I think it's important to maybe say that even though we know that Jesus probably wasn't born on, you know, December 24th or 25th.
I think Constantine did that.
You know, what's really important is that you're taking time out of your daily routine, your daily schedule, to reflect and prepare for the Lord.
Yes.
I mean, granted, you should do it every day.
Yep.
But, you know, the body of Christ, the church, is set up that there is a certain time and a season that we're going to do this. We're going to reflect upon things because we're creatures of habit. We do that. And as we prepare, it's not so much about the exact day that he was born.
Mm-hmm.
It's about receiving him as your Lord and Savior. It's about preparing a place in your heart that you're making a place for him to dwell.
Exactly.
You know.
That's right. Exactly right.
And we can get off track on some of this other stuff because we don't know. We simply don't know the date, you know. And the important part is, are you making a place for him? Are you acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of Man? Mm-hmm. Are you all acknowledging that he is the Messiah and that he's come to restore, you know, God's creation, to restore man back to God?
Exactly.
By the forgiveness of our sins, by the shedding of his blood.
Exactly.
That's the important part of all this.
Exactly. And if you go, you know, when you're in heaven and you see him face to face and, you know, after a while, you say, I often wondered, like, what day were you actually born in Bethlehem? And if he said it was April 3rd or it was October 28th or it was September 3rd or whatever it was, what does it matter?
It's pretty
irrelevant. The important thing is that you're there because he was born.
It's going to be very irrelevant at that point.
That's right.
When you're standing before the Lord and you're being judged for your life and what you've done, and you don't call upon him for mercy, it really doesn't matter what day he was born on.
That's right.
Doesn't matter what day he was crucified on. What matters is that you receive him as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And that you make a place for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in your heart, because, you know, Jesus says, if anyone, you know, my Father and I will come and abide with you. We will sup with you.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. And if, you know, if any of you are listening and don't have a clue what we're talking about, you better consider these things, because right now, in this season where everybody is running around and decorating their house and buying presents and getting flustered with all the preparations and stuff. That's all pretty irrelevant if you don't know what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty irrelevant.
Yeah. It's a lot of busy activity for not understanding what it's about. But, you know, when you were talking about the early heritage of that stump of Jesse, that sprout that's going to shoot from Jesse and what that's all about and the heritage that's there. Mm-hmm. You know, when we don't remember where we come from, when we don't know our heritage or our family lineage, what happens to us? We can drift astray and just kind of wander.
Wow, that's good.
So we have to know about, you know, our baptism. Well, let's go back. Jesus comes to redeem us and to make us adopted sons and daughters, heirs to the kingdom.
Yes.
So wouldn't you want to learn about your family?
Yeah.
So that you don't go astray?
Yeah.
So that you know who you belong to?
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
And the fact that you led into what I was going to say next, talking about family, most of you listening, I'm sure, are Gentiles. And Stephen and I are Gentiles.
Pretty much for sure about that.
Yeah, so we're not, you know, we're not related to David, and we're not descended from Abraham, and we're not in that lineage of all those people that are mentioned in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Through the whole plan and leading up to Jesus being born. But interestingly, in that passage that I read from Isaiah, in verse 10, it talks about how when this root of Jesse's here, he's going to stand as a banner for his people. He's going to stand as an ensign for the people. He's going to stand as a signal for the people. And the Gentiles are going to seek him. Mm. I mean, this is radical thinking. And, you know, in some translations say nation. When you see the word nation in the Bible, it means Gentiles. Mm-hmm. The Jews always refer to Gentile as the nations, the people of the nations, the goyim. So here in this prophecy, and this is what I mostly love about Isaiah, and the main reason he's my favorite major prophet. man, that's awesome. Can't wait to meet him too. But in Hebrew, his name is Yeshayahu. But if we call him that, boy, everybody will get confused. So we'll call him Isaiah. So because Isaiah has so many of these prophecies, and here he is talking in, you know, 700 BC, more or less, and he says the Gentiles are going to seek this root of Jesse.
Yeah.
In those days, that would have been crazy talk.
Mm-hmm.
What would the Gentiles possibly be doing with this guy? They would know nothing about it. How would they possibly be seeking him?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 700 and some years later, one of the people in the family, Saul, Paul, brings thousands and hundreds of thousands of Gentiles to the Jewish Messiah.
Yeah. So it's amazing.
It's a break already. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
May the name of the God of Jacob protect you, protect you. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and we lift up our banners in the name. Sanctuary, and grant you support from Zion.
May he grant you great success. Bless your bread and your water. Drive sickness and disease far from you. May you know the blessing of the Lord that makes you rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord on your house, on your basket, on your seed, on your sons and your daughters.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Interesting song. Anyway, Root of Jesse is going to stand as a banner for this people, and the Gentiles are going to seek him. Mm-hmm. You know, this idea of a banner or an ensign, you know, one of God's names in the Torah, in the books of Moses, is the God of the banners.
Right.
Because every tribe had a banner.
Mm-hmm.
And when the camp when the people were camped, the tribe's banners were flying everywhere, and it was a beautiful sight. Plus the tabernacle and the Shekinah glory and the beautiful banners going. So everybody knew where their tribe was.
So the banner was set out, and if you were from that tribe, you knew that's where you belonged.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so, like, if you left the camp to go to Walmart and then you went back to the camp and you were from the tribe of Benjamin, you'd look around and go, oh yeah, yeah, all the Benjaminites are over there. So you'd go to your tribe. Or if you left, you know, to go to the deli or pick up the Chinese food that you ordered.
Chinese food?
Yeah.
Oh,
you would go back and look for the banner. So the banner was the identity, the security of each of the people, because that's where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
And the members of the family, the member of the tribes, were drawn to those banners.
Right.
And here Isaiah says that the Messiah is going to be a banner for the people, for the nations, for the Gentiles.
Yeah.
The banner. So we're going to have the Messiah as a banner for us that we're going to be drawn to. And of course, he's actually talking about the cross, because the cross is actually the banner that we're drawn to.
Right.
Because even as Gentiles, we understood that this is how we're going to be saved.
Yeah.
That's our safety. That's our resting place. That's our real identity, mm-hmm. is to be in the kingdom.
Yeah. And see, I think this is why it's so important. Like, you teach a lot of Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
and instruct about the roots of our faith, because, and the reason it's so important is because if we don't understand how the nation of Israel was even started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't understand that there was Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham. That promise passed on to Isaac and then on to Jacob, mm-hmm. who became Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob had 12 sons. So those 12 sons, their names are the tribes.
Yes.
They're the banner.
Yes.
And so they're a family. You know, we're not just talking about banners and waving, like, you know, we have a banner at a conference and stuff like that. Yeah, that's part of it, but it's much more than that. It's mm-hmm. a family. It's your identity. And if we don't understand that, then we really don't understand what Isaiah is talking about here from the root of Jesse, and how Jesus is going to be a banner
mm-hmm.
for all people,
yes.
not just the tribes of Israel,
yeah.
but for all nations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in that same chapter 11, I don't know if you have it in front of you.
I do have a chapter 11, Isaiah.
Do you have it in front of you?
I do.
Why don't you read chapter 12? I mean, I'm sorry, verse 12. Chapter 11, verse 12. This is really cool, too.
He shall raise a signal to the nations and gather the outcast of Israel. The dispersed of Judah he shall assemble from the four corners of the earth.
Woo. So he's going to set up a banner for the nations, for the Gentiles, a place where we can go. And he's going to assemble the outcasts of Israel, the dispersed of Judah, from the four corners of the earth. So what happened after Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD? The Jews were dispersed to the four corners of the earth.
Yeah.
They went everywhere in the world, all through Europe. There were some in Africa. There were some in Asia. There were many that made their way to the New World. They've been dispersed. And here he says, this is a pretty amazing prophecy, I think, that from the four corners of the earth, He's going to gather the people under the banner,
mm-hmm.
which means they're going to come to know Yeshua as Messiah,
yeah.
and they're going to be under the banner too.
Yep.
And us Gentiles, you know, we've been there. We've already been under that banner.
Yeah.
But they're going to come too. The dispersed are going to come back. And we're seeing this happen in our lifetime.
I was going to say, you see it happen because the nation of Israel was established in 1948.
Yes. And you see people from all over the, Jews from all over the world that have gone there.
Right. That are coming back home.
Yeah.
To their homeland. Yeah.
So I think pretty soon we're going to see the great time that Paul talks about in Romans. You know, 9, 10, and 11 are all about Israel.
Yeah.
And Romans is one of my favorite books.
I mean, if you
not
think
the famous favorite. Because all Israel will be saved.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen where they're all going to come to Yeshua.
If you think about that, you know, once Jesus was ascended into heaven, you know, Jerusalem was destroyed, what, in 70 AD?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, there was no temple. There was no place to offer sacrifice.
That's right.
So the nation of Israel was just scattered and dispersed
mm-hmm.
up until 1948.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 1,860, 70 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And then all of a sudden, there it is. The nation of Israel is restored.
Yes.
Or now you placed back on the map.
You can make a case that there were exiles. There was the exile in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this passage was talking about the people coming back from Babylon, it wouldn't say from the four corners of the earth.
Right.
This is a big worldwide thing of people coming back, and they're going to come under the banner. They're going to come under the cross. They're going to come under the ensign for his people.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! And this is all Advent stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and even before, well, let me go back to, let's see. Well, you know, like when Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, when Jesus is raised on the cross, he said, I will draw all men to myself.
Yeah. That's right. Know. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so will the Son of Man be lifted up.
Yeah.
And then when the Son of Man is lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself.
He didn't say, I will draw the nation of Israel.
That's right. All men. All the nations.
All the nations.
Yeah.
Israel's included. Yes. But so are we.
Yes.
So these are all things about, this is what Advent's all about, is understanding the coming of Messiah. You know, we reflect on the first coming of Jesus, mm-hmm. of the Messiah, but we also anticipate his second coming.
Mm-hmm.
He's not coming back as a baby in a manger. He's going to be coming back riding a horse and judging the nations.
Yes.
People like babies better because they're cute. They just, they're in the crib.
Everybody likes baby Jesus.
But we need to be prepared because he's coming back.
Yes.
And he's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's going to judge the nations.
Yes.
Woo. Wow.
Wow. Well, this was fun.
Yeah.
I got more stuff, but that's okay. Anyway.
There's always
I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that in this time of Advent that you would open your heart and prepare a place for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to take up his home in your heart, that he can reign with you and you with him. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliani and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.